vision of the Lord Jesus from Matthew's Gospel today. And we're going to read, first of all, two little snippets from Genesis. And hopefully the relationship between these passages will be at least in part obvious to you.
Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, and then chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. 2 verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So if we can, we remain standing for our gospel reading. We've been jotting around a little bit in Matthew's gospel. So just to remind you, this temptation of Jesus comes after his baptism, when he's been declared to be the Son of God. And this is really the prelude to Jesus' 3 years of public ministry. So as it says, Matthew 4 verse 1, if you want to follow it in the Pew Bibles, it's page 967.
Matthew 4, 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O God. Please be seated. Sorry to mention the rugby on a weekend where neither England nor Wales have done particularly fantastically. But I want to take you back to a game which I imagine many of you enjoyed. It was the Rugby World Cup of 2003. England had met France in the semi-final and beat them 24-7. All England's points came from the boot of Johnny Wilkinson. And then in the final against Australia, the scores are level at 17 all, with 26 seconds remaining. And yes, Johnny Wilkinson, drop goal attempt. He scores. Victory. I don't know what, I think I was on a train and there was a cheer. Is that possible with the time difference and everything? That's my memory of it anyway. Now, you were perhaps at home on your sofa, you know, your drink, your snacks. Wilkinson scores. You leap up from the sofa, the snacks scatter. You shout. Maybe. Or. Sorry? We won! Well done, Stuart, you do shout. We won! But frankly, Stuart, you didn't. I mean, you might have sort of willed them through the telly, but you didn't really do much. It was mainly Johnny. He won. But we won. And so it is with the Lord Jesus and today's passage. He won, but we won. So Jesus is victorious over temptation and the devil. He won, but we won. In the Bible, obviously, is in a way about us, but it's first of all about God, about the Lord Jesus. As we said recently, he is the main character. And the Bible is about us because we believe in Jesus. We are in him. And because of that, his victory is our victory. The Bible does help us, but it's not, first of all, a kind of self-help guide with handy tips on how to resist temptation. So, three headings, each with a key word and a suggested response. So, first of all, champion. Jesus is our tried and tested victorious champion whom we should trust. Secondly, priest. Jesus is our sympathetic and faithful high priest whom we can approach with confidence. And third, example. Jesus is our Bible-believing, obedient example whom we can follow in the way of the cross. So Jesus, champion, priest, example. Let's think about each of those in turn. First of all, Jesus, our champion. Jesus is our tried and tested, victorious champion whom we could trust. Now, the Bible often works by riffing off its greatest hits. The posh word for it is typology. It's full of kind of patterns and pictures. And one of the main things which it riffs off, of course, is that story of creation and the fall. Jesus is the new and better Adam. Jesus has just been called the Son of God at his baptism. And Adam, of course, was the Son of God. Adam failed in the wilderness. Jesus was faithful. Sorry. Adam failed in the garden. Jesus was faithful in the wilderness. And they're kind of similar temptations too, aren't they? They both have to do with eating the fruit or the bread. They're both to do with listening, believing, obeying. Will they listen to the serpent or to the word of God? Did God really say, oh, if you eat of it, you won't surely die? If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, you won't die, you'll be fine, God will take care of you. And they're both also to do with kind of timing or grasping. Because were Adam and Eve meant to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, maybe later, just not now. Were they meant to eat from the tree of life? Well, maybe, but just not now. They were meant to be like God, and yet they're tempted to be like God instantly, kind of without God. You know, their destiny is to rule the world, but that's not enough for them. They want to rule the world without God. They want to be not only like God, but to be rival gods, to replace God. So it's similar kind of temptations, isn't it? Will you rule with or without God? You know, will Jesus rule all the kingdoms of the earth? Yes, he will. Yes, he does. He is the Son of God. But here's a temptation to prove it, to grasp at it, to get that power and authority by an illegitimate means, instantly, without the cross and the resurrection and the ascension. It's a temptation to do it for yourself and not for others. Because, after all, Jesus will make miraculous bread in the wilderness, won't he? He'll feed the 5,000. But Satan says to him, you can have it now. Just take it. Look, it's a lonely place. It's just me and you here. No one will know. It's not a big thing, really, is it? God won't mind one loaf of bread. You deserve it. You've earned it. You need this. Jesus is a new and better Adam. He's a new and better Israel. Israel, the people of God, are also called the Son of God. They've also been through the waters. Like Jesus, verse 1, they are led up out of Egypt. And Jesus led up into the wilderness, through the waters, into the wilderness. It's the Israel Exodus pattern, isn't it? Again, a lot of their temptations have to do with eating, aren't they? Oh, do you remember all those wonderful cucumbers we had back in Egypt? How you can sin over a cucumber, I don't know. But they're fed by the manna, aren't they? Miraculous bread in the wilderness. It's the same kind of temptations. Or Jesus, the new and better Moses. Israel had 40 years in the wilderness. Moses had 40 days and nights up the mountain. Jesus has 40 days and nights in the wilderness. In fact, Moses went up on the mountain and saw the promised land. Do you remember that? Because of his sin, he doesn't get to go into the promised land, but he gets to see it. And here's Jesus taking up a mountain. And what does he see now? Not the promised land, but all the kingdoms of the world. The whole world could be yours. You're the new and better Moses. Not just the promised land, but the creation. And there's another temptation for Moses, isn't there? Or a kind of test, anyway. Do you remember the golden calf incident? Exodus 32. God says to Moses, I'll get rid of them. They're all terrible, aren't they? And I'll start again with you. You could have all that I promised without them. And it's kind of a similar temptation to Jesus, isn't it? Just forget about your people. Forget about your mission. You can have all this for yourself. Don't worry about that horrible lot. Think how useless they are anyway. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? With all your mess and sin and failure and issues, Jesus is committed to you. He wants you to be with him for eternity. He could have had all this without you, and yet he chooses not to. He could, in a way, have remained in heaven without blame. And yet he chooses to go to the cross, to stick to his mission for you. For Jesus, it's Jesus and my people. Jesus and my church. Jesus and you. Or it's nothing. What a saviour he is. And we could say Jesus is the new and better Elijah, the new and better David, the new and better Ezekiel, the new and better Nebuchadnezzar even, the new and better Peter. Remember Peter, later in the Gospel? He's going to blow it three times, isn't he? Deny Christ three times. Jesus passes the test three times. So the beginning and end of Matthew's Gospel kind of mirror each other. Again, they'll say to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. This is really a temptation to avoid the cross. Or think of Jesus, tempted three times not to drink this cup in the garden which the Father gives him. It's the same sort of temptations. Jesus, our champion, the victor, whom we can trust. Secondly, Jesus, our priest, our sympathetic, faithful high priest, whom we can approach with confidence. I don't know if you've seen the film Schindler's List. It's a great, great film. It's probably not ideal for date night, but it's a film that everyone should see, I think. And I don't know whether he said this in real life, but in the film, Schindler, I think he was a sort of nominal Roman Catholic, wasn't he? He says this, my father was fond of saying that you need three things in life, a good doctor, a forgiving priest, and a clever accountant. Schindler says, I've never had much need for the first two. But don't we feel that we need a forgiving priest? Or at least a sympathetic priest? We long, don't we, for someone who understands it. They don't get, do they, what it's really like for you and how hard it is. It's easy for them. Nobody really understands. But Jesus does, because of his true and full humanity. You know, we can sort of sometimes imagine that Jesus just floated through life and it was easy for him. But we're meant to believe that Jesus was truly, really human and he was tempted. If you think it's the biggest understatement in the whole Bible, verse 2, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Well, you can say that again. You know, if I haven't had breakfast and it gets to 11:30, you know, I would do almost anything. You know, bow down and worship Satan. Yeah, no problem for a Mars bar. Are you hungry or a bit catchy when you're hungry or depressed, despondent? You know, do you get to the point where you need a bath and some food and a nap? Maybe. Well, Jesus knows and understands. He was tired and hungry and tempted in every way that we are, and yet without sin. He was really, really human. He knows what it's like to be tempted from the inside. C.S. Lewis said something really striking once. He said, in a way, Jesus' temptations are always worse and harder than ours because we so often get out of temptation. What's the easiest way out of temptation? Well, it's just a sin, isn't it? If you're tempted, you sin, it's over. The temptation lasts only a moment. But Jesus was tempted, and he didn't sin. He was tempted, and he didn't sin. He was tempted. Tempted, 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 tempted. Jesus' temptations were longer and therefore harder than ours in a way. Jesus, our priest, who can sympathize with us, whom we can come to with confidence with all our mess and issues. And thirdly and finally, Jesus, our example. Jesus is our Bible-believing, obedient example whom we can follow in the way of the cross. Now, one of the things about the devil is that he's no gentleman. He's more crafty than any of the animals the Lord God has made. He's subtle. It's interesting here, isn't it? He quotes the Bible. It's like a pig with lipstick on, isn't it? The devil quoting the Bible. So the Bible can be used and abused. It has to be understood and applied. But Jesus knows his Bible. All the quotations, actually, from Deuteronomy chapter 6 to 8, working backwards towards that great statement, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Had Jesus been doing Deuteronomy in his quiet times? Who knows? But anyway, he's got the perfectly appropriate Bible quotations at his fingertips. Maybe we could garrison ourselves with the scriptures against the devil's wiles. Jesus, our champion, our priest, our example. May we trust him. May we come to him with confidence. And may we follow him in the way of the cross, knowing that it will in fact be the way to life and peace and joy and victory. Jesus would say to us, well, there are no shortcuts. Don't grasp. Be patient, and God will fill your empty hands in his grace. Amen.